Amen. Let's give everybody another round of applause for everything this evening. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn over to the last book of the New Testament, last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. I want to end our Fall Music Festival with an application of worship to daily living. Just a good challenge to wrap this thing up, and we'll go our ways for the week. And this is my fifth Fall Music Festival as pastor, and it was so awesome seeing those cubbies. They were not even in this world when I became pastor, and watching them grow up and everything. That's really, really awesome. So tonight we have worshiped the Lord in song, and I want to conclude our Fall Music Festival by looking at the Scriptures briefly and giving us application of worship to our daily lives. True spiritual worship is perhaps one of the greatest needs in our individual lives and in our churches. There's a constant emphasis on working for Christ, serving for Christ. Many times we fail to just sit and worship Him. And the word worship means to ascribe worth. When we meet together, we assemble, we worship, we're ascribing worth. And it's not just something we do on Sundays when we come to church. Worship is a daily thing. We worship when we pray. We worship when we read the Word. We worship even when we give. We worship when we assemble and sing. And heaven's going to be a place of worship. Well, when we worship here on this earth, we're earthbound. It's just a little glimpse of the worship that we're ascribing worth for all eternity. And Revelation 4 and 5 gives us but a picture of this tonight. And I want to look at this passage tonight and share with you just some principles on how to worship God, give Him the glory that He deserves by painting a picture of how we're worshiping for eternity. So during the Apostle John's exile to the Isle of Patmos, Jesus Christ appeared to him in all His glory. This revelation of Jesus Christ, this book of the Bible portrays future events, one of which is future worship in heaven. And He gives us a great model of applying worship to daily living. And this evening, I want to give you three questions. Three questions that every Christian, every worshiper of the Lord must ask concerning His worship. The first question is this: who must I worship? Who must I worship? Let's look at Revelation 4, verse 1. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. There are 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like in the crystal, in the midst of the throne. And round about the throne there were 4 beasts, full of eyes, before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast was like a calf, the third beast had a face as a man, the fourth beast was a flying eagle, and the 4 beasts each have had of them 6 wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is, to is and is to come." John was using the best vocabulary he could to describe the scene in heaven. And when it comes to who should I worship, who must I worship? Almighty God. Notice the throne in that passage. That throne tells me that God's in control. The key word in this chapter is throne. Used 14 times, is actually used in Revelation 46 times. It tells me that no matter what goes on in my life and in my day, God is still on the throne and He is in control. Amen? He's seated in heaven, the seat of honor, the authority, the judgment. This is the object of worship. God Almighty. Nothing else. We're made to worship. We're either going to worship God or we're going to worship ourselves. It's a choice we must make. And John sees this future day when God's worship forever and ever. Holy, holy, holy. It's easy in our everyday lives to lose sight of the one who is to be worshipped, who all of our worth should be ascribed to. Because of this, we make the mistake of coming to church and worship half-heartedly with our minds wandering on everything else, on the temporal affairs of this life. But you know what? God wants us to focus on Him, Him being the object and focus of worship. Anything else leaves a void in your heart. I've noticed on the throne, there's Almighty God. He uses comparisons. Jasper's a clear gem, clear as crystal. Just the beauty of our Lord. Around the throne's a rainbow, talking about His covenant with Noah. I noticed around the throne, He uses 24 elders. 24 is a significant number. A picture of those redeemed people of all time, glorified, crowned, enthroned. The number was symbolic. White robes and crowns. Out of the throne, storm signals. The idea of thunderings and lightnings talking about His awesome power. Before the throne, lamps in a sea. Lamps of fire, sea in a glass. His holiness, the Spirit of God before that throne. In the midst of and around the throne, we see four beasts. Like a lion, like a calf, like a man, like an eagle. Talking about the wisdom of God and the holiness of God. It pictures that idea of the cherubim. The angels that Ezekiel saw and Isaiah saw. They symbolize God's creation and are part of His covenant. And they use the name Lord God Almighty. That's His power. That's who I must worship, God Almighty. What a wonderful picture there. Here's the second question. How must I worship? How must I worship? Verse 9 through 11. Let's look together. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship Him that live forever and ever and cast their crowns before His throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. How must I worship? Give glory, honor, and thanks to God, first of all. We were redeemed. If you're a believer in Christ tonight, you were redeemed that you might bring glory to God. The same is true in our everyday lives. We can bring glory to God simply by worshiping Him. Do we glorify God and honor Him with our life? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Every day. Here's another one. Fall down before God. He talks about they fell down before Him and worshiped Him forever and ever. The idea of obeisance, of humble. Fall down before Him and worship. And they cast their crowns before the Lord. Those crowns, those victor's crowns that they've been given for serving Him faithfully in life, they cast them before the throne saying, You're worthy. How must I worship? Who must I worship? Here's the third question tonight. Why must I worship? Let's look at verse 11. Actually, chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw on the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw an angel, a strong angel, proclaiming with a loud voice, Who was worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book. One of the elders said to me, verse 5, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. Talking about Christ. He's prevailed to open the book and loosen the seven seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the elders, the four beasts, stood a lamb that has been slain. Verse 6. Having seven horns, seven eyes, which are seven spirits of God, He came, took the book out of the right hand. And when He had taken the book, you notice the four beasts and the 24 elders fall down before Him. The prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, verse 9. Thou art worthy to take the book. Open the seals. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, Thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and beasts and elders, the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshipped him. Those that worship that liveth forever and ever. Why must I worship? We've noticed in verse 11, because he's created all things. Creation bears constant witness of the power, wisdom, and glory of God. For by him all things are created. We worship him because he's created all things. Another thing I see in the first verses of chapter 5, he's redeemed me. Talking about the seven sealed book, the title deed of the world, and who's worthy to open that? And no man could do it but Jesus. Because he's worthy to open the seals. He's in the midst. He's before the throne. He's worthy to be praised and worshiped. And they sung a new song to him. But I see a third thing there. Because he shall reign forever and ever. And I thought about this picture in heaven. We see but a glimpse. When we assemble, when we worship the Lord in song, we see but a glimpse. Think about this choir someday. Look at this choir. It's 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a lot of people. Try to multiply that. But picture that choir singing, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to be in that crowd. I can't wait because you know what? I'm so thankful he saved me. I'm so thankful he redeemed me. I'm so thankful that knowing my sin and knowing the road I was going down because of my sin, he went to the cross for me and saved me, and I accepted him as my Savior August the 1st, 1996. And since that day, I'm growing in him. And I'm looking forward to that day where I'm worshiping him forever and ever. But we don't have to wait to heaven. We can get a good jump start on it now, amen? So let me give you an application. Who must I worship? How must I worship? And why must I worship? Let me close with this thought. First of all, you cannot worship him unless you believe in him. The Apostle John said in John 20, And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life through his name. Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of the world. He is the answer. He showed us that worship was not limited to a place, but to a person. But you got to believe in him. Do you know him as Savior tonight? If you don't know him as Savior, you haven't even begun to worship him because you don't belong to him. It's impossible for you to worship somebody you don't belong to. Believe in. That's so true with Jesus Christ. Do you know him as your Savior tonight? He died for you so that you could be saved and know him. Another thing is this, you cannot worship unless you love him. Do you love him? Deuteronomy 6:5 says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Worship is impossible without your love for the Lord because we will worship what we love in this life. Any other person or element that is loved more than Christ is idolatry. You cannot worship unless you believe in him. You can't worship unless you love him. You cannot worship unless you glorify him. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Worship and revelation is centered on glorifying God for creating, redeeming man. You got to make him the number one priority. Is he the number one priority in your life? Are you glorifying him in your life? Everything we should do as a church tonight is to glorify him. Let us be challenged this evening as we close to always seek to worship the Lord in our everyday lives in spirit and in truth. Once again, I want to thank everyone for their participation in this evening. I want to thank all those who organized it and got it together. And I really like all the guitars. A lot of strings. I like the strings. Let's bow for prayer. With head bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you. I'll be standing in the back, or standing as you go out this evening. Come talk to me. I can take a Bible and show you how you can know Christ as your Savior and have a relationship with Him each and every day. If you're here tonight and you're saved and you're not worshiping as you should, hey, I want to invite you to rededicate your life tonight. We're going to have a closing prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you so much for coming. Father, we want to thank you so much for this occasion tonight. We want to thank you for everyone who participated. Lord, we do all this for you. We worship you. Thank you for the talents you've given to our church. Thank you for the musical talents in that respect. Lord, we want to worship you each and every moment of each and every day. Lord, I pray you be with hearts tonight. And I pray as we go our separate ways, you would protect us and grant us safety. And all these things we ask. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for coming. You're dismissed.